This evening's scripturing will come from Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
All right, good evening, everyone. It's good to be back this evening. See everyone here. I know we have a fellowship meal after following. I'm sure that's not the only reason why you came back. It's always good an opportunity to be able to worship the Lord. So, you know, in every walk of life, people look to others for their strengths in order to improve or to maybe be able to compete. Right? We look at businesses do that with other businesses. We look at individuals in the workplace environment. They look to other colleagues or maybe others in other companies where they can challenge themselves and to grow. They do it on the athletic field. Even countries do it. Right? We're looking at other countries, trying to make sure they ensure their strength, their standing in the world. And those who like to debate know that to be effective, you need to know and understand your opponent's strengths and their arguments. As Christians, we know Satan is our adversary. He is our adversary who is one opposed to God's rule. But he also exhibits certain characteristics that would be good for us to imitate. So before, I want you to hear what I just said. So before somebody runs up and tries to grab me and run me out the front door, listen to what I said. I didn't say we are to act like Satan or live like Satan. I just said there are certain characteristics that Satan exhibits that it would be good for Christians to imitate. So these top 10 lists have become really popular anymore. I don't know if I have the top 10, but at least I have 10 characteristics of Satan for Christians to imitate. I want to go through this evening. So hear me out. Let's go through the first one so you understand where I'm going. The first characteristic of Satan, he doesn't quit. Satan does not quit. It doesn't matter how many times you have turned down his offers or you find out his tricks. Satan is not going to give up. He is just a constant adversary. As Christians, we should have the same tenaciousness about our faith. So we won't give up when things aren't going our way, as many times they won't. In James chapter 1, verse 12, James writes this. He said, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." You know, we were only complete and mature once we lived faithfully our full lives. When we have finished our course, the course set before us, that Christian walk. And what James is telling us that as Christians, we need to look past the earthly trials and the afflictions that we face. And we need to hold on to the very end. You know, when things get us discouraged, they just get us down, and they will from time to time. We still need to press on. And we need to rejoice that the Lord's on our side. We're on the Lord's side. And he's going to give us the strength we need to get through so that we can receive the crown of life. Those who continually press on are those who are moving on and up in their Christian life. We just sang a song titled Higher Ground. You know, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Hebrew writer states this. He says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We need to maintain our obedience throughout our Christian lives all the way to the end. Never giving up. Never giving up. The second characteristic of Satan that I want to look at. He believes that there is one God. He believes there is one God. In fact, James said in James chapter 2, verse 19, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Satan believes in one God. He also believes that souls will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. But as Christians, it's not just enough for us to believe that there is one true God. It ought to affect the way that we live our lives. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, Solomon writes, "The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person." Those who acknowledge God as the one true God will follow the two commands in this verse, and that's to fear God and to keep His commandments. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, Peter writes, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth." I mean, we know that God will impartially judge our lives. And our conduct, our behavior, should demonstrate that we fear God. We have this healthy view of God's awesome authority and His power that He exhibits. As Christians, we need to live every day knowing that there is one God who will impartially judge us in the end. And that only by living faithfully will we be able to spend eternity with Him. The third characteristic of Satan. He works day and night. Satan works day and night. Satan never takes a vacation from doing evil. Ever. He's a relentless prowler. Peter writes to us in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. He says, he warns us, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." So as Christians, do we take a vacation from doing right? You know, some folks may go out of town and leave their quote-unquote religion at home. They may leave services on Sunday morning along with their Christianity until the following week. But as Christians, there's no vacation from doing good and living the way God wants us to, regardless of where we are. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, he said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." We should not lose heart or become discouraged and give up or succumb to laxity or fatigue. And it's easy to do that at times. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We want our lives to attract others to God and to the Lord, to the gospel message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul tells us and commands us, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." You know, there is spiritual growth that occurs by having tenacity, persistence to continue on doing what God wants us to do. All right, the fourth characteristic. He knows the Bible. Satan knows the Bible. In fact, if we recall when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he quoted it to him. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. He knew God's word well enough in Genesis chapter 3 to almost directly quote them to Eve as he tempted her. So as Christians, do we know God's Word well enough that it guides us and we can use it and quote it to others when we're talking to them about God? Now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul told us, be diligent. In other words, study to present yourself approved by to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of God. As Christians, we've been instructed to accurately handle God's Word, to employ it in guiding others, but also to practice it in our own lives. We should know God's Word well enough that we can give a defense of what we believe and what we practice. And that's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Over in Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist wrote, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. We need to align our mind with the mind of God. And treasuring his word not only prepares us, but it fortifies us to overcome all those enticements of sin. And when we treasure the word of God, we'll study it, we'll meditate on it, we'll memorize it, and importantly, we'll practice it. We'll practice it. Fifth characteristic that Satan employs or exhibits. He is always looking for a prospect. He is always looking for a prospect. Satan may be the world's best soul winner. Everyone he sees is a potential candidate for his kingdom. He doesn't exclude anyone, and he gives everyone the chance to be a part of it. You know, those outside of Christ have been won by Satan and are under his control. And as Christians, we just need to be aware that those who are outside of Christ are lost. And they need to be part of the kingdom of God and told about the kingdom of God. In other words, we don't want to be complacent about reaching the lost. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus commands us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. You know, we don't want to exclude people on the basis of what we believe or disbelieve about them or even their background. Instead, Chauncey read this passage to us tonight in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We shall realize that the gospel has the power to save. The gospel has the power to save. God has the power to forgive even the vilest of sinners. Our responsibility is just to continue to spread the word. You know, we sing a song, and we'll sing it in closing this evening. Lead me to one soul today. Our responsibility as Christians is to continue to seek those who are lost. All right, the sixth characteristic of Satan that he exhibits. He accepts people quickly. He accepts people quickly. It doesn't matter how good your life has been in the past. If you decide to do wrong, Satan will immediately accept you without reservation or hesitation. So as Christians, do we accept others quickly? If they decide to repent and follow Christ regardless of the past sin in their life? You know, it may seem that, you know, some believe that someone has to go through some form of a proving period, right, before we can trust and accept them into our fellowship. But if they're in fellowship with God, they are automatically in fellowship with us as Christians. But it can be difficult. You know, a good example of how hard it can be to extend fellowship. Think about the example of Paul. Following his conversion, the people were afraid of Paul. And why? Well, because he hunted them down, delivered them over to a trial for their death. How difficult it must have been for those Christians to accept Paul. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes this about that situation. He says, "And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." You know, God doesn't want jealousy or favoritism or exclusion of any of His saints in His family. And if we practice that, we lose our fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." You know, we have fellowship with God because we've been saved through Jesus Christ. As we enjoy our fellowship with God, we need to also enjoy our fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, the seventh characteristic Satan exhibits. He is positive. He is positive. Satan always sees the good in the bad. And he looks for the bad in the good. I'll say that again. Satan always sees the good in the bad, and he looks for the bad in the good. As Christians, sometimes I think we can look past others based on some superficial differences between us. But we need to look for good in others, for those who are seeking the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul instructs us, says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And adding these virtues to our life, you know, the kindness, being tender-hearted and forgiving, helps us to build that harmonious community of believers. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus tells us to be loving people. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You know, Christ saw those who, by all appearances, would not be the people others would associate with. But He saw the good in their hearts. Think of the example of Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus was a rich tax collector, which meant he overcollected the amount that he was supposed to from the money, you know, from those he was collecting from. But what Jesus saw was someone wanting to change and follow Him. After Jesus requested to go to His house, you know, when the crowd saw it, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Do we have this attitude with others? Or do we take the attitude of Jesus, looking beyond their past to the future of their soul? All right, the eighth characteristic that Satan exhibits: he is not discouraged easily. He's not discouraged easily. Satan isn't inhibited by rejection. He just continually presses his battle. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul tells us, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." As Christians, we need to continue fighting the good fight, remaining firm in our faith, and continuing to look to bring others to Christ. And we shouldn't be discouraged if someone rejects us on our initial attempt to talk to them about Christ. We don't want to give up on those individuals. We just need to continue to live our lives as a good example to them and still look for an opportunity to go out and talk to them again. You know, it may be that their heart just wasn't open and ready to hear the gospel at that particular time. You know, it may be that you planted the seed and someone else is going to water, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. But we do know that the Lord will continue to work in their lives. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 tells us God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So intellectually, you know, while we know that many will choose not to follow Christ, many will enter in by that wide gate, that's their choice, being rejected by one person shouldn't stop us from continuing to reach out to others. In the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, as Christians we're instructed, we're just to continue to spread the word, regardless of the response by others, not being discouraged. All right, the ninth characteristic Satan exhibits. He is patient. He's patient. It doesn't matter how many times you've turned down his offers, he's going to give you another chance. As Christians, we need to be patient with those who are trying to live right but make mistakes. We all do. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, Peter writes, "Resist him." He's talking about Satan. "Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." You know, when going through trials, some and even us may stumble in our walk with the Lord. And there's a temptation just to give up. We don't want to be critical of the struggles of others, because that's just going to lead to discouragement. The passage tells us here, and James tells us, that it's going to take steadfastness to defeat Satan. We can help each other remain firm in the faith, to be a source of strength. And each of us can find encouragement because we know others are going through the same sufferings that we are and are able to get through those. So when temptation comes our way, we need to fight it. We need to depend on the Lord for the strength and the help we need. James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." When we resist the devil, we encounter the supporting power of God. We can resist the devil, one, by making God our partner in all of our activities, all of our life's activities. Two, by giving and receiving encouragement from our brothers and sisters in Christ. And three, by filling our lives with good things. You know, the power to resist the devil comes through the submission to God, knowing that Christ defeated him. The devil will flee. So we just need to stick together as we're facing the issues that we do every day. We can draw strength from others as we continue our walk with Christ. And lastly, number 10, the last characteristic Satan exhibits is he uses all available methods. He uses all available methods. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul writes, "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." You know, Paul speaks of the schemes of the devil. And note that it's plural. It's more than one. It's plural. If one approach doesn't work, he tries another. You know, if he can't draw you in by the lust of the eyes, he's going to try to tempt you with the lust of the flesh. He doesn't get you there, he's going to try to get you by the pride of life. He's going to continue to try. And as Christians, while there's only one message, it's the gospel, it's the good news about Jesus Christ, there are many methods to reach the lost. We can look to Paul, as he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. Paul said this, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not myself, being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I might be by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a fellow partaker of it. So know what Paul said. He said he had become all things to all men, so that by all means he might save some. If not by modifying the gospel, he didn't modify the gospel, but by adjusting his approach to find common ground with others in order to be able to reach them. Likewise, we need to use every available method to reach out to our friends and our neighbors. We're called on to adapt and to relate to people from all walks of life, just as Paul did. Our goal should always be able to share the gospel with others, regardless of their background or beliefs. So there's a list of 10 characteristics that we can exhibit. And if you note closely, it's the ones God's instructed us to do. So as Christians, we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't quit. Be tenacious in our faith. We need to believe and follow the one true God. We need to be constantly working. We need to study and practice God's word. We need to continually look for others to share God's word with. We need to be accepting of other Christians, to look for good in others. Continue to fight the good fight. Be patient with others. And finally, to use all available methods to reach the lost. Now, this evening, there may be those who are ready to put on Christ in baptism. They've been studying, come to the realization and understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. They've repented, ready to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of their sins, to begin their walk with the Lord. There may be others here this evening who are just struggling, maybe with some of the issues we talked about, the traits that we need to exhibit, the characteristics we need to exhibit in our own lives. I just ask if there's anything that we can do for you spiritually, any help that we can provide, any prayers and support, I just ask that you come now as we stand and sing.